My Lord O'Mell, is Harry Hereford armed?
Yea, at all points, and longs to enter in.
The Duke of Norfolk, sprightfully and bold, stays but the summons of the appellant's trumpet.
Why, then the champions are prepared, and stay for nothing but his Majesty's approach.
Marshal, demand of yonder champion the cause of his arrival here in arms. Ask him his name, and orderly proceed to swear him in the justice of his cause.
In God's name and the king's, say who thou art, and why thou comest thus knightly clad in arms. Against what man thou comest, and what thy quarrel? Speak truly on thy knighthood and thy oath, and so defend thee heaven and thy valor.
My name is Thomas Mowbray, Duke of Norfolk, who hither come engaged by my oath, which God defend a knight should violate, both to defend my loyalty and truth to God, my king, and my succeeding issue against the Duke of Hereford that appeals me. And by the grace of God and this mine arm, to prove him, in defending of myself, a traitor to my God, my king, and me. And as I truly fight, defend me, heaven.
Marshal, ask yonder knight in arms both who he is, and why he cometh hither thus plated in habiliments of war, and formally, according to our law, depose him in the justice of his cause.
What is thy name? And wherefore comest thou hither before King Richard in his royal lists? Against whom comest thou, and what's thy quarrel? Speak like a true knight, so defend thee heaven.
Harry of Hereford, Lancaster, and Derby am I, who ready here do stand in arms, to prove by God's grace and my body's valour, in lists on Thomas Mowbray, Duke of Norfolk, that he is a traitor, foul and dangerous to God of heaven, King Richard, and to me. And as I truly fight, defend me, heaven.
On pain of death, no person be so bold or daring hardy as to touch the lists, except the marshal and such officers appointed to direct these fair designs.
Lord Marshal, let me kiss my sovereign's hand and bow my knee before his majesty. For Mowbray and myself are like two men that vow a long and weary pilgrimage. Then let us take a ceremonious leave and loving farewell of our several friends.
The appellant in all duty greets your highness and craves to kiss your hand and take his leave.
We will descend and fold him in our arms.
Cousin of Hereford, as thy cause is right, so be thy fortune in this royal fight. Farewell, my blood, which if today thou shed, lament we may, but not revenge thee dead.
Oh, let no noble eye profane a tear for me if I be gored with Mowbray's spear. As confident as is the falcon's flight against a bird, do I with Mowbray fight. My loving lord, I take my leave of you. Of you, my noble cousin, Lord O'Merle, not sick, although I have to do with death, but lusty, young, and cheerly drawing breath. Lo, as at English feasts, so I regreet the daintiest last, to make the end most sweet. O thou, the earthly author of my blood, whose youthful spirit in me regenerate doth with a twofold vigour lift me up to reach at victory above my head. Add proof unto mine armour with thy prayers, and with thy blessing steel my lance's point, that it may enter Mowbray's waxen coat and furbish new the name of Jonagaunt, even in the lusty haviour of his son.
God in thy good cause make thee prosperous. be swift like lightning in the execution, and let thy blows doubly redoubled fall like amazing thunder on the cast of thy adverse pernicious enemy. Rouse up thy youthful blood, be valiant, and live.
Mine innocence and St. George to thrive.
However God or fortune cast my lot, there lives or dies, true to King Richard's throne, a loyal, just and upright gentleman. Never did captive with a freer heart cast off his chains of bondage and embrace his golden, uncontrolled enfranchisement more than my dancing soul doth celebrate this feast of battle with mine adversary. Most mighty liege and my companion peers, take from my mouth the wish of happy years. As gentle and as jocund as to jest, go I to fight. Truth has a quiet breast.
Farewell, my lord. Securely I espy virtue with valor couched in thine eye.
Order the trial, Marshal, and begin.
Harry of Hereford, Lancaster, and Derby, receive thy lance, and God defend the right.
Strong as a tower, in hope I cry amen.
Go, bear this lance to Thomas, Duke of Norfolk.
Harry of Hereford, Lancaster, and Derby stands here for God, his sovereign, and himself, on pain to be found false and recreant, to prove the Duke of Norfolk, Thomas Mowbray, a traitor to his God, his King, and him, and dares him to set forward to the fight.
Here standeth Thomas Mowbray, Duke of Norfolk, on pain to be found false and recreant, both to defend himself and to approve Henry of Hereford, Lancaster, and Derby, to God, his sovereign, and to him disloyal, courageously and with a free desire, attending but the signal to begin.
Sound trumpets and set forward, combatants! His warder down.
Let them lay by their helmets and their spears and both return back to their chairs again. Withdraw with us and let the trumpet sound while we return these dukes what we decree.
Draw near and list what with our counsel we have done. For that our kingdom's earth should not be soiled with that dear blood which it hath fostered, and for our eyes do hate the dire aspect of civil wounds ploughed up with neighbor's sword, and for we think the eagle-winged pride of sky-aspiring and ambitious thoughts with rival-hating envy set on you to wake our peace, which in our country's cradle draws the sweet infant breath of gentle sleep, which so roused up with boisterous untuned drums, with harsh resounding trumpets' dreadful bray, and grating shock of wrathful iron arms, might from our quiet confines fright fair peace, and make us wade even in our kindred's blood. Therefore, we banish you our territories.
No.
You, Cousin Hereford, upon pain of life, till twice 5 summers have enriched our fields, shall not regreet our fair dominions, but tread the stranger paths of banishment.
Your will be done. This must my comfort be. That sun that warms you here shall shine on me, and those his golden beams to you here lent shall point on me and gild my banishment.
Norfolk, for thee remains a heavier doom, which I with some unwillingness pronounce. The sly, slow hours shall not determinate the dateless limit of thy dear exile. The hopeless word of never to return breathe I against thee upon pain of life.
A heavy sentence, my most sovereign liege, and all unlooked for from your highness' mouth.
A dearer merit, not so deep a maim as to be cast forth in the common air, have I deserved at your highness' hands. The language I have learnt these 40 years, my native English, now I must forego. And now my tongue's use is to me no more than an unstringed viol or a harp, or like a cunning instrument cased up, or being open put into his hands that knows no touch to tune the harmony. Within my mouth you have engailed my tongue, doubly portcullised with my teeth and lips, and dull, unfeeling, barren ignorance is made my jailer to attend on me. I am too old to fawn upon a nurse, too far in years to be a pupil now. What is thy sentence, then, but speechless death, which robs my tongue from breathing native breath?
It boots thee not to be compassionate. After our sentence, plaining comes too late.
And thus I turn me from my country's light to dwell in solemn shades of endless night.
Return again and take an oath with thee. Lay on our royal sword your banished hands. Swear by the duty that you owe to God, our part therein we banish with yourselves, to keep the oath that we administer. You never shall, so help you truth in God, embrace each other's love in banishment, nor never look upon each other's face, nor never write, regret, nor reconcile this lowering tempest of your homebred hate, nor never by advised purpose meet to plot, contrive, or complot any ill against us, our state, our subjects, or our land.
I swear.
And I, to keep all this.
Norfolk, so far as to mine enemy. By this time, had the king permitted us, one of our souls had wandered in the air, banished this frail sepulchre of our flesh, as now our flesh is banished from this land. Confess thy treasons ere thou fly the realm. Since thou hast far to go, bear not along the clogging burden of a guilty soul.
No, Bolingbroke. If ever I were traitor, my name be blotted from the book of life, and I from heaven banished, as from hence. But what thou art, God, thou and I do know, and all too soon I fear the king shall rue. Farewell, my liege. Now no way can I stray, save back to England. All the world's my way.
Uncle, even in the glasses of thine eyes I see thy grieved heart. Thy sad aspect hath from the number of his banished years plucked 4 away. 6 frozen winters spent, return with welcome home from banishment.
How long a time lies in one little word. 4 lagging winters and 4 wanton springs end in a word. Such is the breath of kings.
I thank my liege that in regard of me he shortens 4 years of my son's exile, but little vantage shall I reap thereby. For ere the 6 years that he hath to spend can change their moons and bring their times about, my oil-dried lamp and time-bewasted light shall be extinct with age and endless night. My inch of taper will be burnt and done. And blindfold death not let me see my son.
Why, uncle, thou hast many years to live.
But not a minute, king, that thou canst give. Shorten my days thou canst with sullen sorrow, and pluck nights from me, but not lend a morrow. Thou canst help time to furrow me with age, but stop no wrinkle in his pilgrimage. Thy word is current with him for my death, but dead thy kingdom cannot buy my breath.
Thy son is banished upon good advice, whereto thy tongue a party verdict gave. Why, at our justice seems thou then to lower.
King's sweet to taste prove in digestion sour. You urged me as a judge, but I had rather he would have bid me argue like a father. Oh, had he been a stranger, not my child, to smooth his fault, I should have been more mild. A partial slander sought I to avoid, and in the sentence my own life destroyed. Alas, I looked when some of you should say I was too strict to make mine own away. But you gave leave to my unwilling tongue, against my will, to do myself this wrong.
Cousin, farewell. And uncle, bid him so. 6 years we banish him, and he shall go.
Cousin, farewell. What presence must not know from where you do remain, let paper show.
My lord, no leave take I, for I will ride as far as land will let me by your side.
Oh, to what purpose dost thou hoard thy words, that thou return'st no greetings to thy friends?
I have too few to take my leave of you, when the tongue's office should be prodigal to breathe the abundant dolor of the heart.
Thy grief is but thy absence for a time.
Joy absent, grief is present for that time.
46 winters, they are quickly gone.
To men in joy, but grief makes 1 hour 10.
Call it a travel that thou takes for pleasure.
My heart will sigh when I miscall it so, which finds it an enforced pilgrimage.
The sullen passage of thy weary steps esteem as foil, wherein thou art to set the precious jewel of thy home return.
Nay, rather every tedious stride I make will but remember me what a deal of world I wander from the jewels that I love. Must I not serve a long apprenticehood to foreign passages, and in the end, having my freedom, boast of nothing else but that I was a journeyman to grief?
All places that the eye of heaven visits are to a wise man ports and happy havens. Teach thy necessity to reason thus. There is no virtue like necessity. Think not the king did banish thee, but thou the king. Woe doth the heavier sit where it perceives it is but faintly born. Go, say I sent thee forth to purchase honour, and not the king exiled thee. Or suppose devouring pestilence hangs in our air, and thou art flying to a fresher clime. Look, what thy soul holds dear, imagine it to lie that way thou goest, not whence thou comest. Suppose the singing birds, musicians, the grass whereon thou treadst, the presents strewed, the flowers fair ladies, and thy steps no more than a delightful measure or a dance. For gnarling sorrow hath less power to bite the man that mocks at it and sets it light.
Oh, who can hold a fire in his hand by thinking on the frosty Caucasus, or cloy the hungry edge of appetite by bare imagination of a feast, or wallow naked in December snow by thinking on fantastic summer's heat? Oh, no. The apprehension of the good gives but the greater feeling to the worse. Fell sorrow's tooth doth never rankle more than when he bites, but lanceth not the sore.
Come, come, my son, I'll bring thee on thy way. Had I thy youth and cause, I would not stay.
Then, England's ground, farewell. Sweet soil, adieu. My mother and my nurse that bears me yet. Where'er I wander, boast of this I can. Though banished, yet a true-born Englishman.